I think about myself as a leader, right? As a leader, one of my biggest tools I want to use is influence. I don't want to use authority. I mean, I have to use that from time to time, but to build influence, I've got to be around people and they've got to trust me and I have to trust them and I got to understand what their likes are. They have to understand what my likes are. You're not going to get that in remote work.
This is the PMP Industry Insider Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome out to another episode of the PMP Industry Insider Podcast, where we take a look at what is changing in the pest and lawn industries, and we take you to the front lines to those that are driving those changes. I'm Donnie Shelton, owner of Triangle Home Services, which has Triangle Pest as well as Triangle Lawn. And with me is the ski bunny, shall I say, Mr. Dan Gordon. If you had visuals of Dan in a bunny suit skiing, I'm sorry. All right, Dan, go.
All right. This is Dan Gordon from PCO Bookkeepers, PCO and a specialist, coming to you from Copper Mountain in Colorado, where I skied all weekend, got altitude sickness, and spent all of Sunday in bed because I am such a solid dude.
Yeah.
But I feel good today. So yeah. Anyway, announcements. Okay. Yes, announcements. Please consider, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider supporting our sponsors. If you need marketing services, that would be Cold March by WorkWave. Learn more at coldmarch.com. And if for your insurance needs for the pest control industry, sponsored is PestSure. Visit them at PestSure.com. And let's see. So the next announcement is, if you're interested in joining a PMP Industry Insider group, which we've had a lot of success with, we're working with David Billingsley, blah, blah, blah. We've been talking about this for weeks. Listen to episode 136. We put together probably about four or five groups. And there's probably 40, 50 people who are interested. And if you want to get with like-minded people and benchmark against other folks in the industry, by all means, contact us. And this has been going on for a few weeks, so I'm going to give it over to Donnie, because this whole Apple thing, I don't understand it. So go ahead.
Well, a couple of things to add. I mean, one, you and I were at a peer group last week and I just had a blast. I ended up, every time I go to one of those, I learn a lot and I took a ton of notes. And, the fact that I have a podcast does not make me an expert. If you listen for quite some time, you will know that. But I always come away with something that I learned. So if you're not a member of a peer group, I would recommend you do that. It doesn't necessarily have to be one of our peer groups, although we are very partial to our peer groups, especially with David. David is fantastic. If you ever spend some time with him, he's very good about kind of peeking into what's really going on under the hood, has some very good insight, and he has a lot of experience both in larger companies as well as smaller companies. But my point is that it's just a great time for you to kind of step back and really look at your business objectively with almost kind of your own board of directors. And so I just think the peer group idea is a fantastic thing if you've not done it yet. You can go to our website, pmpindustryinsider.com. I think you can reach out to us there and we can get you connected with David. But in any case, on the Apple Podcast side, yes, there was a change made. If you haven't subscribed, if you haven't listened to us in a while, please resubscribe. There's some issues going on with that that has all changed. I think we got it down now. We're probably not going to be announcing this much longer. But what I really want to do is talk about what we're talking about today, which is somewhat of a controversial topic. In fact, I was prepped for this, and I saw an article this morning about how this has turned into a culture war. And the name of the topic is work from home dead? That's the topic. And so Dan and I, as usual, are in complete alignment, and we completely agree on every single point, which that means to you that we're going to be arguing a lot in this episode. Maybe not, but it's going to be, we're kind of post-COVID now, and we thought it'd be a good idea to talk about this topic because it's a very hot topic. And there's some people who feel pretty passionate about each side. There's some who are saying, well, work from home is here to stay. It gives you a capability that you could never have if you're just looking in your local market. And then there's others, such as myself, who are done with work from home, and I'm wanting to bring everyone back, which is what we're going to do. And so with that, we're going to jump in, and I want to spend some time on talking about work from home. So first of all, Dan, and all your customers, like this is, I don't know, I'm going to have you do an
informal
survey.
This is kind of interesting. So our business is a little bit different than yours. You're a pest control company and a lawn care company that puts technicians on the road and salespeople out and people who have to be in the field. So you can't, you know, you're in North Carolina, you can't hire somebody from Chicago to do those things, right? So we are an accounting firm using, you know, our tech stack is all in the cloud. So really, we can do this. And we have been doing it long before COVID, usually on, you know, snowy days or, you know, days that, you know, the weather was bad. And then COVID happened and we just flipped to it. It really didn't, you know, affect us. However, coming out of COVID, we still kept the model. And so here we are a couple of years later, and I'm not exactly sure that I still love it. I think that you raised a great point that you can get out of market people, but there are a whole bunch of other issues that go along with it. So I almost think that there's a hybrid approach. And we can talk as we get along, you know, move along. I can tell you some of the controls that we put in place to make sure that people are doing what they should be. But, you know, and I don't want to sound like a, you know, a hard ass, but, you know, you've got to have controls or otherwise it's, you know, it doesn't work. So.
Well, I'm going to reference a lot of articles as we go through this. I did some research on this and, you know, maybe this is biased research. I will tell you that I am not a fan of work from home. I am appreciative that we were able to do it during COVID. Obviously, Dan, you're 100% correct. We could never obviously do field service remotely, but a lot of the back end stuff, a lot of our office stuff, we have, you know, we run in our phone systems right now. And I'm not joking when I say this, it's almost like we're in a chicken coop with the company. And so I physically don't have enough space for all of our CSRs to come in, for all of our technicians to come in. And so we have to stagger folks. And we have folks at our home. We bring them in at least once a week. That was a ton of fun to put in. Let me just tell you, that went over like a fart in church. And I've been warning folks for the last 2 years. If you're new to the podcast, we are building a building for our company, which we're super excited about. It was set to open at the end of the year. It is now. We're recording this on March 4th. We are yet to go into that building, but I'm told by the end of this month, which basically means probably mid-April, we'll be in the new building. And I cannot wait. And the reason I can't wait is because I'm so done with work from home. And the reason is because I feel like while work from home can be convenient and work from home works in some industries, I don't think it's a great idea for the service industry. And the reason is because, well, there's the obvious, which is, you know, when you go out and service an account, you can't do that from home or having people start from home, which I know there's a few, like remember TrueTech? I think they still do this. They don't have any offices. Everyone starts from home and ends at home. And so I guess it can be done, not the kind of company I want, but I think the biggest downside, at least for me, is productivity. You know, we see a massive increase in productivity in folks who actually come in the office. And there's several articles out there. There's one I'm going to link up by Forbes that goes into how much people are distracted and how much their focus is not really in as much in the home environment as they are when they're at work. And I will tell you, I don't know if this was the same for you, Dan, but when COVID hit and I was working from home, I actually worked more. Like I was putting in 12 and 14 hour days. I was not working my 8. Now, was my work completely focused? No. I took 2 hour lunches. I trained during lunch. Like, you know, I did things around the house I needed to get done. And so really for me, it almost like work just bled into my personal life and there really wasn't a clear line. And what that turned into was like, you know, when I go to work, it's like playing a game, right? It's like I'm all in and I want to go in and this is what we're doing. This is how we're going. But when you work from home, it's a little different. And I think there is, you know, there are more distractions. And I'm going to put this link up.
I think the first thing that you have to do is you have to be disciplined and set up a schedule because you're absolutely right. You could be at home and every single thing, you know, geez, the pantry needs to be cleaned. I probably should do that. But you have to say, okay, I'm going to start at 8 and finish at 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever. I don't know about the 2 hour lunches. That's probably something that you perfected, but you know, but you got to be very disciplined about it. But I don't have a problem with. The problem that I have with it is the culture, the trying to hold people accountable.
We're going to get to that.
It creates bad blood. But yeah, so let's continue on with the outline.
Well, the reality of it is that the article I'm going to link up was an article that was published on Forbes. It's a little dated. I think it was created like 2 years ago, but it was basically walking through how to be productive at home and how to avoid distractions. And when I first started Triangle, this is back when we lived in Holly Springs, and I had a little desk up in our den or whatever it was. And so we had really small kids at the time. In fact, the way I know the age of Triangle is Marin was born the month before I started the business. And so I had a 3-year-old and a newborn, and I would go in this den. I would put on my shoes. I would shut the door, and that was my office. And you can imagine that did not go very well with Mrs. Shelton. She always would, not always, she would often enlist me in tasks around the house and helping her with two small children, which I gladly did. That's a total lie. I should have been a better husband, but I was. But my point is like separating your workspace from your living space.
So the next episode will be creating a better marriage. And
right. Don't do what Donnie did. No, but my point is like, you know, this whole article is walking through and essentially telling people how to be more productive at home and how to make a clear division between what is work and what is not. And I think you're spot on, Dan, when you say this is, I just don't know that a ton of people, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but it takes a high level of self-discipline to pull that off. And so productivity, I think, takes a hit. And the reason is because, you know, it's just really difficult for people to kind of split the two apart. In fact, funny story, we found this out later on post-COVID. COVID was really, really good for us. It was good in terms of sales. It was good in terms of being able to get out. We marketed and we grew the company like gangbusters. And like most things, you know, a lot of sales hide a lot of sins. And on the backside of COVID, we found out we had people at home who were like legitimately had 4 kids and was quote unquote working during the day and not, you know what I mean, and had 4 kids. And then when you pull their phone records, they were never on the phone. And so it's just really difficult to manage. Anyway, so that brings me to my second point, which is how do you manage productivity? Like, first of all, I think there's this whole idea of decreased focus, but then monitoring productivity for remote workers and then trying to figure out, you know, are they really producing as much as if they were at the office? And I'm going to say right now, I don't think so. You know, I have a person who works for me in a different capacity. And one day I'm watching her on the laptop, and every now and then she'd take her hand and she'd do this. And I mean, if you're not listening, if you're watching, you're going to see what I'm doing. But she's basically shaking her hand on the mouse pad. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? She goes, oh, I got this software on my laptop, and it has to stay active. Otherwise, they think I'm away from the computer. And she was completely watching TV. So she was totally gaming.
Hey, by the way, yeah, there are programs. There are people who wrote programs to keep that mouse active so that you look right. Like you're working. Right. So what we do in our office, and I got to tell you, well, maybe it's, you know, the people who work for us are professionals, they're CPAs, enrolled agents, and there's a beginning and an end to what they need to do each day, each week, each month. So we can monitor that. But we also monitor their phone time using Teams reports. And we have something called Jive. Jive is just like a phone system, and it monitors. And we actually, in our balanced scorecard, we use hours. You have to achieve a certain number of hours each month in order to be in the bonus pool. And I'm not going to say that some people haven't pointed out to me how to game the system, like the good old IRS. If you call them, you could be on the phone for 2 hours before they answer, right? So right. That's, yeah. So there's ways around it. And I don't want to say that my team has done that, but they definitely pointed it out to me, said, you know, but the one thing that we, you know, it's the culture. It's all about the culture, you know, and you can't tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, let's do this or let's do that. And there's definitely times where if you're at home, you're taking a break, you're dealing with the kids, you're dealing with your spouse and whatnot, but you know, and the during COVID, it was like, okay, as long as you get your job done, I don't care. But now it's kind of like, you know, I'd like you productive during certain hours of the day.
So there's the challenge of measuring what someone is doing and monitoring them. But there's also this challenge of actually managing them. And that's really difficult. And again, we've got a Harvard Business Review article here that talks through like how managers, employees are trying to navigate this. Like, how do you actually manage a remote employee? And it's very difficult. It's way more difficult to do it than if they're in the office. And that's not just Absolutely. A blanket statement. You know, you can read the article for yourself, but you know, my point here is that I don't like work from home because it's a huge productivity hit. Now, if you're in a case where it's like, you know, you got to deal with COVID and that's that, if you do what you have to do, then that's fine, right? I mean, you do what you have to do. We don't really have many options. But as a general business strategy, when you have another option of actually bringing people in, I think you're going to have a way more productive and a way more efficient business if you bring people in. So let's get to the part that you've been pouncing on here, Dan, which I agree with wholeheartedly, which is there's this whole idea of culture and team cohesion. And I always tell people this all the time. How many kids were created over Zoom, right? I mean, it just doesn't happen. Like, people need to be together. But I mean, it's true, right? I tell people that all the time. It's like, well, we don't need to be together. It's like, well, you know, we're people and we're all about relationships, not those kind of relationships at work, hopefully. But my point is that, you know, to build a culture and have team cohesion, you're family, right? And you have to be together. And so this whole idea that, well, we're going to be together in a meeting and we're, you know, I mean, that's a contractor, right? I mean, it's very different. It's a very different vibe to just meet with someone and your connection in my mind. Like, I think about myself as a leader, right? As a leader, one of my biggest tools I want to use is influence. I don't want to use authority. I mean, I have to use that from time to time, but to build influence, I've got to be around people. And they've got to trust me and I have to trust them and I got to understand what their likes are. They have to understand what my likes are. You're not going to get that in remote work. It just, you just don't have that kind of time.
So for a long time employee, it's easier. It's the real issue is onboarding new employees. That's mm-hmm. the real problem because yeah. you're right. Once somebody gets to know you, yeah, you could do the Zoom call and whatnot. And it's still not the best. I mean, what we do is we do a monthly culture thing. We'll do happy hour. We did axe throwing. We've done dinner cruises, all kinds of things, right? And mm-hmm. it's great, but it's once a month, right?
Right.
But I think if you ask my team, would you rather be at home or in the office? The answer would be, we'd rather be at home.
Of course.
If you ask me, I'm thinking a hybrid, maybe 2-3 days in the office and the rest at home. Right. That's what I'm thinking. And it's funny because we're struggling with this right now. We really are. Yeah. The other thing are. Is I own a building. I got it heated. I've got to, you know, maintained and whatnot. And, and then the hybrid model is, okay, so I have 20 people working for me. So I have to have 20 workstations. Well, if you have a remote situation, how many workstations do you need? You know, 15, you know, it's very difficult to plan around it, you know?
Well, the other thing too, and I don't know if you've noticed this about millennials, you know, Gen Z, that generation, or I should say those generations, really thrive on feedback. Like, they want a lot of feedback. Now, I'm not telling you that if someone's remote that you cannot give them feedback, but I will tell you that when you're in proximity of someone, you have more opportunities. Because for me, for example, like if I see someone doing something right and I see it and I'm there or their supervisor sees it, of course, we're going to highlight that. And we want to positively reinforce that. When you're remote, that feedback loop, it's almost like it's broken, right? I'm not telling you can't
okay, all
do
right.
it.
So we were in a peer group meeting last week and Donnie got probably going to spill the beans, the whole secret. Donnie showed us his checklist for all the things that he does all day and every day. And one of them is he's got every employee listed and he has a check mark, whether he complimented them today or not. Who does that?
It's not every day. It's not every day. It's every week. It's every week. And here's what I have learned as a leader. I used to rule with the iron fist. You got to remember, I went in the military when I was 17. It was how I was managed. It's what I was taught. And by the way, there is a place for that. There absolutely is. There is a place for that. But I have learned over the years that people respond to positive feedback a lot better. And I'm concerned about what works. And so if I can find someone doing something right, I'm going to highlight that so that they don't, so that when I hit them with something like, this is, you're effing this up and you need to change, it's not like that's all they see from me. Like all I'm seeing is the wrong. It's like, that's the exception. But generally speaking, you know, most of the time me doing that, like the complimenting side, it just creates more of what I want. And I don't even have to have those conversations for the what more I don't want. And so that's a whole nother leadership. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast there. But yes, you are correct. And that's funny that you mentioned that. I didn't realize you saw that, but that's pretty funny.
I think everyone saw it and everyone was like, that is Donnie. That's him.
So, well, yeah. I will say this, going back to the whole checklist thing is, you know, I generally speaking am 5 years in front of the business. And so when I look back as to where we are today, it's hard to not see just what we're missing and what we're lacking. And so that's my way. That's kind of my forcing mechanism to bring me back to what is actually good that's happening right now. And I know the business doesn't look like the way I want it to look in 5 years, but I need to acknowledge and I need to reinforce the things that are working so that we can get there. So I just think culture, you know, work from home is a very difficult thing to do. And the other part of it is, have you ever met someone who stays at home a lot and they don't get out? They're freaks. You're so full of, you get out all the time. But I'm just saying, like, you know, the reality of it is that you meet someone who stays in all the time. And some people do this, right? They're isolated. And then over time, what happens is number one, they get weird. Like they get really weird. I mean, just, you know, funny story. And by the way, before I tell you this story, I love my mother. We'll start there. But my mom, you know, my mom is retired. She's been retired for years and she's super busy, according to her, which is fantastic.
Everybody
and
is retired.
Best mother in the world. I could not have asked for a better mother. And I mean that with all my heart. But I was talking to her, like I called her on a Sunday. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I got so much to do, Donnie Ray. I got this. I'm like, where are you going? She goes, well, we got a doctor's appointment on Wednesday. And I'm like, and you're doing stuff on Sunday? She's like, oh, yeah. And so my point is that, you know, when you work from home a lot and you don't get out a lot, it has an effect on your feelings of isolation. And it absolutely has a decline in how you feel connected to your team, because you're connected via, you know, these Zoom meetings and Teams meetings and Google Meets and stuff like that. But the reality of it is, and that we're going to link up, there was a survey that was done where people were talking about, hey, you know, how do you feel with this work from home? And it's up on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling themselves now. But it was a survey done by Buffer, and they were looking at, like, you know, for people who work from home, you know, what's their biggest struggle? And the reality of it is number one was not being able to unplug, but number two was just like they had more difficulties in communicating with people, and they had way more difficulties to connecting with people. And loneliness was number three. So, I mean, I don't know that it's good for the person either. So,
well, the you know, the Zoom calls, so you're talking to your team, but also you're talking to your customers and prospects and things. So I don't have a problem with that. I'll tell you what I, you know, quite honestly, the lovely Mrs. Gordon, my wife, Carol, she loves to what are you doing Wednesday? Let's go play golf. And I'm like, I have all these calls and maybe on Saturday or Sunday and, you know. And then there's guilt, right? But right. If I were in the office, that wouldn't be a problem.
Correct. So. Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, that's kind of a distraction. I get that. So let's move on. So I think there's a big hit, you know, just to recap, in productivity, there's a big hit in culture and team cohesion because, you know, there's number one is being isolated. Number two, not being able to add those connections. And then number three, which I think is probably the most critical one, which is, you know, I don't have these mind-blowing ideas over Zoom, a scheduled call, right? Like when you think about, there are different cultures, and I'm not going to name cultures because I don't want people to think that I'm some freaking stereotypical, you know, whatever. But there are some cultures that they're taught you're to study and you're to regurgitate and you're to understand the system, and that's what you're supposed to do. That, I mean, and Dan, you know cultures that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about an American culture, because an American culture is we think very creatively, and as a culture, because that's kind of the way that we're brought up. I mean, when you think about in school, like there's obviously this emphasis on learning principles. There's this emphasis on learning how things work, but there's also this side that we're taught in terms of being creative. And this is the biggest issue that I have with working from home. Do you know, I've had so many breakthrough ideas in meetings with other people, in just side conversations that I have, like we're talking about something, I'm talking about something with someone else, and we're doing this face to face. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, well maybe we should try this. And so my point is like this whole idea of idea flow and being able to get different perspectives within different parts of the business. And I would argue this would be the same thing for the folks that you have working for you. I don't care if they're CSR, like they're a frontline worker. I mean, some of our greatest ideas, you know, we talk about traction a lot last week. We've talked about it a lot in this podcast, and we do pulse meetings. And these pulse meetings is where we, you know, we take a day and we take a step back, and it's working on the business, not working in the business. And we do that from top to bottom, from me and the leadership team all the way down to our pest technicians. Everyone takes one day a quarter, and that's what we do. And, you know, when they're together, like really together, and they're talking with us or they're talking to the office and we're having these meetings, it's amazing. Some of the most creative ideas that come out of that. And I just don't see that with the work. You know, the work from home thing for me is like that stasis. That's keeping the boat in the water. That's keeping the train on the rails. I don't care what metaphor you want to use. It's kind of status quo, right? It's keeping things where it needs to be. It is not, you know, innovation. I just don't see it, right? It's not so like the, growing.
Yeah, I, you know, you thought that I was against, you know, you thought that I was totally work from home. I'm not. I'm more of a hybrid. But the thing with doing a hybrid is you also open up the employment pool, because if you can offer a hybrid situation to potential employees, you have a bigger pool. Now, those employees may take advantage of it and whatnot, but if you do it right and you get the right person, it can work. But I'm not in the camp of just everybody staying home. It doesn't work for us anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that the hybrid thing is, you know, that's an important piece to what we're trying to do anyway.
Well, I just know that when you think about breakthroughs that you've had in business, I mean, think about your own, you know, in your own journey. I've had breakthroughs in peer meetings, you know, when we do in peer groups, like I've had some really good ideas come out of peer groups. And sometimes it may be something that someone says, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, we could, it may not be exactly what they're talking about, but it fires off like, oh, I could do that this way. Or it could be that someone's like, dude, you should try it this way. And so my point is that, do you remember back when COVID was happening, we were doing these peer groups via Zoom? Do you remember that? Yeah. They sucked.
They did.
Because everyone's distracted, right? I mean, you're just not all in. You know,
you can't. So you can do a half hour Zoom call that can be effective, but you can't do a 3 or 4 hour team meeting, because you're right, everybody gets distracted.
Yeah, there's just emails that come in. And you know, one of the rules that I have for our L10s is no phones. Because I'm like, hey, you know, when we're here, like we can just put everything away and focus for an hour. That's going to be like worth 8 hours of, you know, unfocused work. And so anyway, we're going to get back efficiency and workflow. I think also, and we'll put up, you know, there's a whole thing that talks about on MIT, they have a whole section on work from home and how remote work works and how remote work doesn't work. And so if you're all for remote work, and by the way, I'm not a remote work hater. I'm just telling you, like for some positions, it's really not that big a deal. I mean, you think about a software developer who really, you know, they're going to have a few meetings up front to really understand the problem, but then like they're going to have 3 months of just writing code. Well, I still think a hybrid model would work. I don't like that they're always, you know, away if you want them to be part of your company. Now, I'm not telling you contractors can't do that. And if that's the level that you want, then that's okay. But I think in a service business, bad idea. And if you're listening to this, you know, and you're like, I never took people home, good on you. We could not do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do have clients who are in the pest control business who have CSRs or administrative types, they're accounting people who are way outside the market. because they were able to get a great person who was, you know, 1,000 miles away. And it really didn't matter, you know, if you get the right person. But you're right, there's isolation issues, and are they really part of the team and whatnot. But that's the pro to being able to work from home. The con is all the things that we're talking about. So,
right. So now let's get into another thing that I think is really, really important. Do you know how to like take a customer from pissed off to just flaming pissed off? Is when they're mad, continue to email them or text them. You know what I'm saying? Like if someone sends in a really angry
By the way,
email,
it's the same thing for dating. If you
my nephew's got
a love thing going, and I said, stop texting, stop.
Oh, he's got a love triangle happening.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the reality, right? When written communications are good, but you know, I have made it with a standard at Triangle. Like if someone wants to talk to me, you got 4 lines in an email and that's it. And if it's more than that, then you need to call me and we need to talk. And I would much rather talk to you than I would. I used to have a person work for me and they would write these freaking dissertations. They'd be like 4-page letter. I'm not joking. And I would be like, I'm not reading that. And I wouldn't read it.
Oh, the way that I deal with that is I'll just, you know, you could tell that they work 3 hours on it and you'll just answer it and say, yep, agreed, or nope, disagreed, and send it back. That way they know.
Well, I mean, I will disclose this. There's a really cool feature on ChatGPT that says, give me this email in 4 points. I may not have used that, but you can cut and paste text into that and it's fantastic. And just like, here's the bullet points of what this email is saying. But we laugh and joke about that. But here's the hard truth. Someone spent three, possibly maybe an hour to an hour and a half of your money to compose something that you are not interested in reading. Simple as that. I mean, that's the fact, right? And so work from home, people tend to hide behind email and hide behind written communication, whether it be Slack, texting, email, those types of things. And the fact is that, you know, if someone's upset or something needs to get solved, you can solve it in seconds, face to face, right? People tend to behave better. People are a lot clearer in their communications. They're much more thoughtful about what rolls out of their mouth, myself included. And it just gets resolved. It's not this back and forth, you know, I'm going to write a dissertation and then someone may think I'm wrong, so I'm going to write the 5-point plan as to why I'm right. Like, who gives a crap, right? Like, just get rid of, like, it creates so much waste in your business in time. I mean, forget the fact that it may not hurt anyone, a customer may not see it, but you know, this happens with customers too, because a customer, you know, if they email in and they're in a mood and then you respond back, or one of your folks respond back with kind of a terse response, they can't read tone. You know, I mean, and I've told this story several times, you know, if you have kids and your kid has told you that you're sorry, okay, you know, if they're really sorry, right? It's so much in the tone. And if you read that tone incorrectly, like, you just know, right? And so it's, tone is so hard to read in written communications. And I know
it's, you're talking about if somebody's pissed off. So one of the reasons that we track the phone time is because it was really bugging me because our phone time was low and it was all emails. And yes, if somebody's pissed off, but if somebody's just, you know, using your service and whatnot, but they don't have any contact, as soon as they get maybe somebody else they meet at a trade show meeting or at a chamber of commerce, and they've made a bonding with them, you have no bonding with them.
That's right.
So your technicians, CSR, client managers, whatever, need to have that bonding so that, you know, you're in the race when the competition comes in. And it's extremely important.
It's no different with our customers. I mean, by the way, I'm not a door-to-door hater and I'm not a door-to-door lover, but the fact is that if you have a customer who has a personal connection with your technician and someone comes banging on their door, they're not changing. They're not. If you have a technician that has zero connection with your customer and someone comes banging on the door, if the price is lower and they make a connection with that salesperson on the door, guess what? They are quote unquote moving.
So let me ask you a question. You just brought that up, but you've got pest control and lawn care. Who has higher attrition?
Oh, lawn care.
Because because the technician usually doesn't see the customer.
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So. Yep. All righty. We are getting towards the end here. I want to just argue the counterpoint here and make sure that folks, well, I do hate work from home, so I'm not going to apologize for that for the service industry, but there are some benefits and there's some folks who are doing it and are making it work. And so I don't want to, you know, just say it's completely awful, because in some cases, folks have a hybrid approach and it is working. But, you know, there are some things that if you want to do that, that you can mitigate some of the issues that we talked about. You know, one of the things that we used to do when we were working from home is that we would have monthly get-togethers to try to build that connection, right? We would also have a policy that if something got heated, then we would be, quote unquote, we would go virtual, meaning that we would get off written communication. I mean, my point here is that work from home is not, I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not a mortal sin. Okay. It's not, you can certainly make it work. And by the way, if you're in a place in your business and you're like, look, I just want to keep it between the rails. I'm not looking to, you know, create this massive growth. You know, my culture is fine. Or like you said, Dan, I've got someone who's been with the company for 15, 20 years and they're working a hybrid model. That will probably work. I'm just, you know, when I look at it from a macro level and I look at it as a strategy from a business, I don't like it, but that doesn't mean that it won't work for everyone. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean that at all. And if you're having it work for you, then fine, keep it going. But I do think it's important that you understand, in general, it's way more difficult for that person to be way productive because of distractions. It's really hard to have that person feel part of the team because they're going to be isolated and they're not going to be, you know, in the building with everyone, connecting with people on a daily basis. And their efficiency and their communication is going to be very, very limited. Now, some people can manage that, but most can't. So with that, Dan, what do you want to close with? What do you want to add? Anything?
I don't disagree. I think that, you know, our resolution on this, and we've been debating it for well over a year, is to go hybrid, is to go 2 or 3 days in the office and the rest out, and actually stagger, you know, who's going to be in. But one day everybody's in. So that's right. The way we solve for it. But we're in a little bit of a different situation because we don't put people on the road. We're all accountants and bookkeepers and whatnot. But that's what we do. But it's something that everybody's struggling with, you know? You know, the pros are that you can get out of market people who might have higher qualifications. You might be able to get them for cheaper. You save on, you know, rent and whatnot, but I agree with you. I think that the culture is extremely important and you've got to figure out that piece to make everybody feel included.
The one thing I will say, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not an owner, let's just say you're a high level manager or whatever, and you're completely disagreeing with me right now, I will say this. If you go and do research, what you will find is that people who are in the office get promoted on the order of 2 to 3 times more than folks that are working from home. That's the reality. I'll try to link up some of that research, but in any case, just a reminder that all the resources and topics that we talked about today are on the podcast website, pmpindustryinsider.com. Just take a look under show notes. I referenced a lot of articles. We'll try to get Marisa to link all those up. I know she will. She does a great job at that. And as always, if you enjoyed this show or any of the shows that we provide, Dan and I, we just make so much money in this podcast. That's a way of saying we make nothing, but we do appreciate ratings and reviews. And if you follow us on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, we always appreciate the likes or however it is that you can give kudos for the podcast. And if you have complaints, concerns, or just generally want to be upset and mean, we ask that you direct those comments to Dan. And with that, we'll all sign out. See you next time. Take care.